I guess I enter the situation, and she may want to do it, but she may just kind of be a typical.
The moderator has left the conference.
So did it go just to music? Did it just, like, it threw me off?
Yeah, it did. It did.
Okay. Sorry about that. I don't know what happened.
Glad you're back.
So, Brian, what I heard you start to say is, like, it may be that. So you were trying to get curious and figure out what else might be going on for Sophie in that instance.
Right. I guess I was kind of thinking of the, you know, shifting my perspective. But maybe it's the expectation that I'm walking into it a little bit with. Because in this particular instance the other day, it was like she said she was going to do something at a certain time. And he's like, oh, I'll do it in a little bit. I'll do it in a little bit. And then, you know, kind of daylight ran out. And I was like, you know, you were supposed to have practice for 2 hours tonight and you didn't have it. And you worked out for like 15 minutes to take the dog for a short run. You're not putting forth the effort you need to do, especially, you know, to me, going into this weekend camp she's doing this weekend where, I mean, it's the top-notch kids, right? And so she needs to focus and show a good kid.
So hang on a second. If you know that Sophie has executive function challenges because of her anxiety, because of ADD, because of everything else, so what executive function challenge could be getting in the way in this instance?
Could be an organization issue. How do I get started? I think a lot of it, we think sometimes is like a fear of success and self-sabotage. So she's a little bit worried about eventually failing at something, right? Or she can't, eventually she's going to make a mistake, right? Mm-hmm. And so it's almost like sometimes she'll just make a mistake early on in the process to prevent herself from making that eventual mistake. And it's kind of a weird self-sabotage because...
So it could be an organizational issue. It could be a getting started issue. It could be a planning issue. It could be a distraction issue where she's, you know, she's doing something else and she thinks she has... It could be a time management issue where she thinks she has time and then all of a sudden she looks up and time is gone. And it could be some of this self-sabotaging sort of thing. And the reality is that you're the kind of guy that says, okay, I want to do something. I can see my goal. I can see what I need to do to accomplish my goal. I better do what I need to do in order to accomplish my goal to make sure I can get it done. And you do what you can to make it happen.
Right. And you prioritize on that basis, right? It's not your – if this is really your priority and your goal – you make that come first rather than last if you have time left to do something, right?
So think about yourself. On a scale of 0 to 10, how hard is that for you to do on a regular basis?
Where, for me, so 1 to 10, how hard, and 10 is hard to do?
10 is,
It's probably like a 1 or a 2.
Okay. All right. So think about Sophie. How hard is that for Sophie to do?
I'd say like a 6 to 7, maybe. I mean, sometimes she can be all over stuff, and it's it's unpredictable. It depends on the day.
Well, that's ADD, right? You know that. That's the ADD, right?
Yeah.
That's when the motivation is really there. When the self-sabotaging gets in the blocks the motivation, or the hyper-focus, or whatever else blocks the motivation. It's not a matter of, you know, being hard. It's a matter of, like, it just can't happen, right? And so if your perspective shifts from, I don't understand why she doesn't just do this, to, wow, it's a 7, maybe a 6 or 7 in terms of difficulty for her to do this on a regular basis, how can I help her? What shifts for you?
Well, it goes to that puzzle of my child needs my help to get this moving. And what can I do in this moment? And it's not always just in the moment, but what can I do to help her make that on a daily basis a 2 or a 3 for her?
And the reality is, Brian, another perspective shift is that there may be nothing that moves it to be a 2 to a 3 on a daily
basis.
That's
exactly right. That's exactly right.
And that just may be the reality of her life with the executive function challenges that she has, that prioritizing things, even things she knows is the right thing to do or even things that she wants to do, may not come easily to her ever.
True.
So, again, this perspective shift is sometimes about us changing our perspective. It's sometimes about helping our kids change our perspective. But the reality is that if we can look at the situation differently, either from our child's point of view or from the point of view of a fly on the wall or the point of view of kind of, I like to look, sometimes I do the perspective of my child's future self. It's kind of like, what will my kid think 10 years from now, and how will they want me to look at this situation? What will they want me to see in this situation? But just kind of really kind of getting out of your own point of view and looking into looking through some different lens really helps us to break being stuck on emotions, break being stuck on thought patterns, or break being stuck on action. So if we find ourselves doing the same thing over and over and over again, if we can shift our perspective and say, what else am I willing to consider as true here? Or if we're stuck in an emotion, what else am I willing to believe might happen here? What else am I, those sorts of things. What's my child's perspective here? It can really help us to shift the energy up. So I don't know, Stan, if you're going to always be in a place where you have to just listen today. It's going to be sad if you do, but I would love to hear what you have to say about perspective.
I'm about to be able to help you. I'll be doing that in just a moment.
Okay, perfect. Great. So, Brian, when you think about this, what perspective shift do you think would be most helpful for you when you're working with Sophie around making sure she's getting her practice in?
It's a little broader than just practice. It's more just about making sure that she's kind of doing the important things, and that could be practice or just whatever. And part of it, is just getting exercise for her own mental stability and health. But it's not just those. It's also kind of with schoolwork during the year, making sure she's not waiting something to the last second or just other planning. It's kind of, maybe it's just more of a shifting to the focus of what does my child need from me, rather than, which may be a shift from solution to sympathy.
Right. I think that's great. The other thing that just kind of popped in is this whole idea of what important things, right? So it's like who decides what the important things are? When do they decide it? How conscious are they of that decision? And on a maturity perspective, our kids may be making conscious choices. They may be making unconscious choices. It just depends on what's available to them at the time. And so I think that's the other piece of it is, what does Sophie see as most important? And what does that conversation look like for you and her?
Right. And I think it's one of the things you said right there was another good one that I just need to focus on probably more with her, that I have more struggle with her than I do my other boys, is the fact that, although she's about to be a junior, she's really more like a freshman sometimes from her emotional maturity and decision-making and cognitive process on certain things. I mean, she's got tremendous coping behaviors and techniques, and she's very, very bright, but sometimes, that ADHD and executive functioning gets in the way, and she may really be performing more like a rising freshman. And how much would you expect out of a rising freshman in high school? Not a lot.
Yeah. So if she was an eighth grader going into ninth grade, what would you be doing differently?
Well, I think just one thing, I mean, eighth going to ninth, it's kind of like, you know, you're, I don't want to say it's a throwaway year, but ninth grade is kind of a year of figuring things out and doesn't have as much longer-term impact just from my parenting perspective, right? You know, once you're a junior, then it does have some impact on college options or other things like that. So there'd be that perspective. But there's also just more of the kid probably needs more of a partnership with you to guide them at a rising eighth to ninth grade level. They just don't have the maturity to deal with as many decisions and options and freedom. And the child wouldn't have as much freedom because they'd be more dependent upon you for transportation, guidance, initiative, and that kind of stuff. And then once you're, you know, a 16-year-old rising junior, if she needs to go somewhere, she can take her car and go there, right? And we expect her to do that. So I think you plan a little more and assist a little more and guide or control a little more when they're younger. At the same time, she rebels against that a little bit, but it just may be that you need to help her through that process because she's not physically or mentally able to make it herself.
Right. Well, and then there's this conflict that's created by what you just described, because the reality is that she's not in eighth grade going into ninth grade, and so it does matter technically. You know, the schools are looking at her differently than they were 3 years ago, that sort of thing. And she's not in eighth grade. She's, you know, a 16-year-old who wants to be,
right,
who wants to be independent. And so you've got this challenge, and this is where the perspective shift and the opportunity sits for you is, you know, her reality is this combination of executive function at a different level than her reality and her maturity.
Yep.
So what's the easiest part of that for you?
I think is to go back and just kind of always remember there's, you know, there may be an executive function / ADHD motivation barrier going on here, and have a little patience with that.
Yeah.
Did I just jump off the page on you there? Or?
No, you didn't. No, so that's what's easiest for you, okay? And so does that feel like the place to start, or does it feel like it's so easy you want to challenge yourself and stretch to a different level?
No, I think that's when I look at my realistic action step on my wrap. I'm already doing my wrap-up perspectives as we talk, but I mean, I think that's what I was kind of writing down as my realistic action step, is to first consider, you know, there may be an executive function, ADHD kind of excitement barrier, and tend to go from that to, you know, be in a helping mode, be in a support mode.
Yeah, so move from the change in the perspective is she's having a hard time, she needs help, and so you move into that helper mode rather than the frustration and judgment of why is she not doing this. How does that feel?
Right. That's I kind of wrote down as my focus on paying most attention to is the shift from solution to sympathy and support.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. All right, so Stan, are you ready yet?
I'm totally ready.
All right. Awesome. Well, I just did.
I want to first commend Brian on his honesty. It's really refreshing. And everything he said is really helpful for me, too.
Awesome. Well, so I just did a laser coaching session with him in front of you. So if you want to do a laser coaching session, let's do that. Let's do a laser coaching session with you, too, Stan. You heard some of my stuff around perspective shifting. Where do you want to take aim in our conversation?
Well, there's a lot going on right now. Sophie broke her wrist. And in fact, when you asked that question about Sophie, that's why I thought you were asking me, because many Americans think that Sophie is Sophie. So when you said Sophie, I assumed you were asking me about Sophie. I apologize for jumping in there. In any case, the fact is that because of her broken wrist, Martin and I are having to do like 10 times more than usual to like chip in and do things because Sylvie's basically incapacitated for the moment. And Martin has been helping quite a bit more. He's done some laundry. He's, like, a few times, he's helped with cooking a few times. He's done what I've asked him to do much more immediately than before. And where I'd like to take aim is that Fred seems to be degrading over time. Like, one of the rules this week he's in a squash camp is that every day he has to take a shower, and yesterday he just didn't want to, and it was getting towards the later evening, and he still hadn't. And I reverted back to the, like, countdown. If you don't go to take a shower, like, on the count of five, you won't have a phone tomorrow. And he loves his phone.
Yeah.
So he just was resisting so much, and basically he ended up not taking the shower, and now today he doesn't have the phone. And he's totally furious at me because he thinks that because he took the shower in the morning that I would relent and give him the phone, but I'm not. And it's just caused lots of friction, and I feel like we've gone like five paces forward and now like six paces back. And
yeah,
starting with some of the emotional issues.
So that one of the challenges, and it's interesting because what's popping in is kind of what's going on in my house right now, is that my kids get frustrated when I jump to consequences right away. And so if you were to, instead of just focusing on the possible solution of taking the phone away, to go back to the challenge that you're trying to address with the phone going away.
The shower.
So you're trying to create a solution to help him with a shower. And what do you know when you get curious, what's really going on for him?
He just doesn't like bathing all that much. We have to insist, like for the last 5 months, it seems, that insists that he gets in the shower. And we've mainly allowed him every other day. And now with the squash, it's a very sweat-inducing sport. And I told him on Monday that it would require daily showering. And he was fine Monday and Tuesday, and then Wednesday it just fell apart. But,
so hang on a second.
I mean,
let me interrupt you for a second. So you told
sure.
him you told him that he would have to take daily showers. So is that on the directing end of the spectrum, or is that on him direct? Who's directing in that instance? You or him?
Certainly,
okay.
I am. It's,
so
it's
when
other
we have kids that are
coming from me.
Yeah, so when we have kids that are the age that we do, when we feel like we need to step into director mode, the most important next step is buy-in. So
mm-hmm.
when you said you need to take a shower every day, how much buy-in did you have from him?
You're making me feel like an idiot. I didn't even think about buy-in. I know we've gone over that, but I'm sorry.
That's all right. I mean, it's really easy to skip those stuff. But it's easy to skip. Right. I mean, this is a kid who's exhausted after. I mean, it's like, how many times do I come home from the gym and go, oh my gosh, do I really want to take a shower? I'm just too tired, right? And I think that happens with our kids sometimes too.
I feel like such an idiot. You're absolutely right. I skipped the most important thing.
So can I challenge you to give yourself some grace, because it's really pretty normal, and you know, you're exercising this muscle. And so if you're going to go back and have a conversation with Martin,
which I will do,
about showering, what's the important part of the conversation here?
And that I'm a little clueless about it. I mean, from my perspective, it's about hygiene and grooming has an importance in life, like at all ages, and may as well start now. But he does not have that perspective at all. It's very
so
much more like when
do you
my
think
parents
you
insist on doing.
Well, So that's your interpretation of his perspective.
His perspective is he doesn't give a damn, and the only important thing is banking on his phone. And in fact, he has said this, that any time taking a shower is time away from what he really enjoys doing.
Okay, so hang on a second. So what you know versus what you don't know, you
yes.
know that showering is hard for him because it takes him away from things he likes to do.
Mm-hmm.
What you don't know is whether or not he thinks showering is important. Does that make sense?
No, I believe that he does not think it's important.
So I'm going to challenge you to separate those two things, right? Because you've got ADHD here, and I'm reflecting on a workshop I listened to with Dr. Tom Brown, where he talked about hyperfocus, and he was talking about dads who yell, ADHD dads who yell, and he was saying that they get so stuck in the emotion of yelling that the part of them that remembers that they don't want to yell at their kids isn't even engaged. And so if we think about our kids in hyperfocus, because he's told you that showering feels like it takes him away from things he likes, right? That's true.
Mm-hmm.
That does not necessarily mean that he doesn't care about showering. He could care about showering as much as he cares about the other stuff.
No, he doesn't.
And
he really doesn't. He does
so
not.
Hang on a second. So I'm pushing you here, Stan. So stay with me. Your
mm-hmm.
brain says that if he thought showering was as important, he would do it. What I'm saying is an alternative perspective to consider might also be true, is that even though he thinks showering is important, it's hard for him to break away from the other stuff to make it happen.
I mean, that's certainly true. Let's give him the benefit of the doubt, even though I know it's not true, that somewhere in his mind he knows that showering is important, or else his parents wouldn't be nagging him all the time about it. So giving
right.
him the benefit of the doubt, yes, I can certainly accept that, because when he was five, he would sometimes pee in his pants because he didn't want to tear himself away from playing with his
ding,
interest.
Ding,
in
ding, 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 ding. Yes. Okay. So the point is not whether it's 100% right or 100% wrong. The point is that if you look at it from he doesn't care about showering, you're going to make him do it, and you're going to punish him if he doesn't. Right, because he's just lazy and he doesn't care.
Right.
And if he would just care, then I'm going to make him care. Right? And that's what we do. That's mm-hmm. a natural reaction. If you were to look at it from a perspective of saying, wow, this is a kid who, you know, it's not that he doesn't think showering is important. He's having a really hard time breaking away from this thing to do this other thing that might be important to him as well.
Yes, totally true.
Okay, so that if you have that new perspective,
okay,
what changes for you?
Oh, boy. Well, I ultimately feel like he's almost 15. It's his responsibility. And maybe if I'm doing my job right, I just let him do what he wants.
So hang on a second. So you're back to, okay, I can't do anything. So this is a child who needs help prioritizing something, right?
Okay. Yeah.
So reflect on that. So reflect on the conversation with Brian. If you were going to take
right.
on helper mode instead of, I don't know what to do, maybe I should just let him stink, or darn it, I'm going to make him take a shower, which are kind of two ends
the
of the spectrum,
extremes.
Right? There's fight
right.
and there's flight, kind of. It's extreme here.
Right.
I'm going to let him do whatever mm-hmm. he wants, or I'm going to tell him what I want to do. There's scaffolding.
Right.
And if you think about kind of all those steps in between directing, which is I'm going to tell you what to do, and allowing, which is do whatever
mm-hmm.
you want, and I'm not going to get involved,
mm-hmm.
what does scaffolding look like for Martin with showering?
I don't know. I need help with that.
Okay. All right. So one thing could be, hey, buddy, I know you want to, you know, so it's kind of like you come home from practice you know, you always check in the minute he gets in the door and say, hey, buddy, when are you going to take a shower?
Mm-hmm.
How is practice? When are you going to take a shower? Maybe you start with how is practice, and you let him talk about practice, and then you say, what are you going to do next, and when do you want to take a shower? You know, and so then you hold him accountable for telling you when does he want to take a shower. And then if he says, okay, I'm going to take a shower at 5, my answer to my kids is always, how are you going to know when it's 5? And how are you going to remember?
And
I'm going to set an alarm.
And this approach worked on Tuesday. That's the approach that worked for us on Tuesday.
So you give him the power, right? So it's
and
kind
Wednesday,
of like you get to decide. You get to decide when you're going to take a shower. So what happened on Wednesday?
Wednesday he had a meeting with us and his high school principal. They meet individually with every child during the summer to talk about their goals for 9th grade and their feelings about the year that just went by. And it was that kind of meeting. So that basically took care of the afternoon. And when we got back home, no one was really thinking about showers. But I did remind him, like a couple of hours later, that today was a, quote, shower day. And, you know, he groaned a little, but he seemed okay with it. And then it just didn't happen.
Yeah. Well,
and then
that
high school
happening.
Principal meeting was so upsetting that if we have time at the end, I'd like to mention that, because that Sylvie and I were so upset about the meeting with the high school principal that Martin was just not behaving as a 9th grader is supposed to. But we could come back to that.
Well, so again, so it's another great example of expectations and what is and isn't a reasonable expectation for Martin. You know, so if we do
mm-hmm.
the three, so
true.
Closing the loop on the showering, you know, so it's
mm-hmm.
if you stay in a place of curiosity and know that sometimes one solution is going to work and sometimes it's not, but what you're looking for is opportunities for scaffolding and support, right?
Yes.
So you know now that just taking away his phone is not working because it makes both of you feel kind of crappy. And if you look at, you know, what are all the different things that you could do in between, you know, the reminders
mm-hmm.
and the, you know, encouraging him to set his phone and the checking in and the everything else,
mm-hmm.
you know, and get creative about what you want to try differently.
Mm-hmm.
What are
yes.
some things
and
that you would want to do around
this? Talk about, I could have a talk with him about it and say, I don't want to be on your case, and I know you don't enjoy that either. What are the ways that we can ensure that you take a shower on the every day you have athletics? And ask him for his opinion.
Love
Maybe
that.
Maybe I should just
Love
put
that.
It out there.
And that's a great way to gauge his buy-in. And I would
mm-hmm.
encourage you to do it at a time that you both agree to. So you don't just say, let's talk about
mm-hmm.
this right now. You say, hey, Martin, I want to talk about this. When can we talk?
Right.
You know, so it's that constant asking permission, that constant sort of engagement. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, I noticed that it's hard for you to remember to take a shower. What's up? And just see what comes.
Yeah, I think this approach, knowing Martin, I think this approach would really work with him. I really do, because that puts the onus on him. And I think that the fact that I acknowledge that he doesn't like being nagged by me or his mom is probably a worse thing than voluntarily taking a shower on his own with maybe a phone calendar reminder or whatever idea he comes up with would be preferable to what's going on now. And he certainly doesn't want to miss out on his phone for a day ever again. To him, that's torture.
Yeah.
So I think we've got several carrots and sticks here all set up.
Yeah, good. So just quickly, Brian, did you stay on with us? I didn't even look to see.
Yeah, I'm still here.
Anything that kind of comes up for you as he was talking through this?
Oh, man, the shower thing. We battle that with our eighth grader. It's tough, and I agree. And by the way, on the squash note, my wife's grandfather was the national masters squash champion in the over 75, over 80, and over 85 age brackets.
Oh my gosh!
That's yeah, we're talking about a man who started playing squash at age 60, and he likes to say he got really good when all his opponents started dying.
Yeah, and that's like my dad. He would tell, he wouldn't tell people his age, so they would still be willing to play with him.
There you go.
That was your wife.
You do get sweaty and stinky playing squash, definitely. And we battle that with our own. So we've got a standing rule that he just has to shower every other day, and then sometimes I make him shower daily. And he just doesn't necessarily want to. We're like, dude, you just stink. Mm-hmm. You got to shower.
It's tough.
It's a tough one. And we try to flip the, instead of no electronics if you don't shower, hey, if once you take your shower, you say, you get your electronic allotment for times, like once you take your shower, you can have electronics again. And it's usually helpful if we set that early enough in the evening that it's not like right at bedtime. It's like, well, screw it, I'm not going to, So we'll say, hey, if you have your shower taken by 8:30 or something like that, or 9:00, you can have another 30 minutes of electronics after your shower. That one,
I even thought that maybe what I could do is when we get home, I could say, you can have your phone after your shower. Whenever you want to take a shower, you'll get your phone back at that point. Knowing that he doesn't function unless there's pretty much that level of coercion. So I think your idea is good. Using it as a reward.
That's right. That's right. And then he's controlling the timing for it, because it's part of that ADHD for brain, the excitement of having the phone and having access to it right now, because there's right now and there's not right now, and it may just be an executive function thing. Without that, well, I've got it right now. I can't even envision that time when it's going to be a not right now and I'm not going to have it, and then tomorrow's so far away. We've had that same thing too. The hard part is sticking to it once you've implemented the disciplinary measure, and then they do something like shower in the morning. It's like, okay, well, it's all forgiven now, because our son's the same way. He doesn't get the idea that because he didn't do something by a certain timeline, then he doesn't get back what he wants, or there should still be, even with school, if he got something messed up and on an assignment and forgot to get it in on time despite his supports and stuff, he was very frustrated when the teacher lowered a grade, even though he turned it all in and turned it in late. He's like, well, that doesn't make any sense. I turned it all in. Well, you didn't turn it on time. But I turned it in, it was all good. But you had to turn it at a certain time. So same thing. How do you stick with that? Because it just doesn't, they don't process that well. At least mine doesn't. So I felt you there. I felt that struggle. And I don't, unfortunately,
have really refreshing.
Solutions.
Yeah.
It's so refreshing to hear you talk about it with that perspective. It's so refreshing because it's like the same thing. It's in their mind, it's like once they've done it, the black mark disappears. It's like it never happened.
That's right. It's magically erased.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
It's done. Okay. Yes. You're forgiven, but there's still some discipline there that has to be done.
The consequences. Yes, the consequences still have to
That's
be
right.
paid. And the transition to the adult world requires them to experience that, because that's what's going to happen once they've grown up.
But it's not going to happen for a while, Stan. That's why I have to keep telling myself it's not going to happen for a while. Because I do the same thing. I start to catastrophize, like, oh, my God, they're not going to be able to function when they go to college. Well, college is still a long ways away. There's still a lot of time before they actually have all those adult consequences. But I can understand. And I know probably exactly where you came from, though.
What? kind
of
Dan,
are you running this call here or something like that?
I am. I'm just running the call. I just want to, I'm really enjoying the interaction.
Let's
and so I just like, I'm going to let
in.
It go. I'm like loving the conversation and the dialogue. And I'm like, this is too good not to stop. But it's. But I think that the point, so Stan, you said you loved the perspective shift that Brian shared with me. Bottom line
for us.
What do you see as the perspective shift that you could apply in your situation with Martin based on what Brian just shared?
Well, it's really like, I call it a process of negotiation, but it's more like putting the onus on him for his own behavior and his own consequences. And really the original thing you said, giving him the buy-in and the motivation from his buy-in to correct the behavior, and that he gets the rewards that he wants from behavior that satisfies both of us.
Yeah.
Like, we each get something out of it, and most important, he's getting something out of it.
Yeah, love that.
Instead
love that.
Of neither
cool.
of us, instead of neither of us getting anything. So thank you.
Cool. So I want to go back just for a minute before we wrap up. Stan, you were talking about the situation at school. And so I think that to shortcut it, I'm going to suggest because of time that you not tell me the whole story.
Yeah.
But if you look at the thing that popped into my head loud and clear was what is and isn't a realistic expectation for what Martin will do. Because the minute you said he wasn't acting like a ninth grader should, I'm like, well, I almost said this, is like, well, duh. We know that our kids aren't going to act like the way the ninth graders are should because they're 3 to 5 years behind their peers. And so what
and you know
is
what?
A realistic
during the meeting
expectation?
Itself, during the meeting itself, like, your voice came into my head, like, you control your own reaction. He's doing what he does at his level. You don't have to get all reactive to that. And I was like kind of enjoying seeing him slouching, looking up at the ceiling during the meeting. He even picked his nose and played with the snot. And like, it was just ridiculously characteristic of an ADHD kid. And Sylvie also, like, he was driving her nuts, and she talked to him later after she and I talked about how it just did not meet expectations, that he had to sit up, he had to make eye contact, and that it was really verging on disrespectful for his principal, and that he was almost falling asleep on the couch towards the end. And Sylvie said to me that it's probably like him showing that it didn't matter to him.
Hmm. Well, so we know, but hang on. Yeah. So hang on a second. So we know that energy management is an executive function challenge.
Mm-hmm.
And when things are not interesting, it's almost impossible for the ADHD brain to stay focused. And so it's not that they aren't interested. It may be that it's not interesting, and there's a difference. And you need to kind of have this combination of both. And so I guess the question I want to ask is, when you think about what you did to prepare Martin for that conversation, what are three things that you did to help set him up for success for that conversation?
Well, the day before and even before that, we talked about what was going to happen and that what the agenda was, and to think about how he felt about the last school year and any ideas of the next school year. And then I reviewed with him what a goal is, like the SMART goals, like Brian, I'm sure, and I have learned in our jobs of specific, measurable, time-based, realistic, all those things. So I reviewed all that with him, but what I didn't review is basic things like sit up in your chair, make eye contact, focus, like anything like that, and be more conversational than just yes and no answers. It's
well,
didn't dawn on me that I should review that too.
Well, and here's the thing. It's like you just described all these things you got to do in a one-hour meeting. I got overwhelmed a little bit, and I'm not a 14-year-old boy with ADHD, right? So part of it is figuring out, you know, take aim, you know, what's most important. And so preparing him, if you know that he's a kid who has a hard time paying attention, mm-hmm. the conversation might be, I know that this meeting might be a little boring. What can you do to try to make sure that you stay as engaged and interested as you can, and how can I help you?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Very good. I wish you had been there beforehand.
Well, so here's the thing for underneath all of this. Let's go back to the perspective shift, and then we'll wrap up. But it's like in each of us, if you think about that voice in your head, he just didn't care. He just doesn't want to take a shower. How does bringing in another perspective, which is this is hard for my kid, something that simple, this is hard for my kid, how can I help? Change the dial just enough to avoid conflict and frustration and stay in problem solving.
Yes, and it's just what you said, like being more realistic about the engagement level and how he can help himself and how we can help him, and really focusing on basics instead of the meeting agenda, like thinking of the agenda around the agenda and the deeper level of the ADHD issue and how to deal with a meeting in the first place. So, yeah.
Love that.
Awesome. Oh, my God.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So, let's do our wrap-up. So, take a minute, and we're on page 61. Let's look at, you know, four questions that we wrap up with. What did I pay attention to or focus most on today? What's my clarity? What's an aha that I had? What's a realistic action step? And how do I set myself up for success? So, take a minute, jot down some notes, and I want to hear from both of you. I know, Brian, you already said yours, if you want to reiterate them or if they've shifted since we talked earlier.
No, still on. So mine of the, you want me to go ahead and go? Well.
Yep.
Okay, so my attention, paid most attention to the idea of shifting from solution to sympathy and support. My takeaway is just relating to that I can't always help or solve the problem or control it, but I can always be supportive and sympathetic. My realistic action step is to consider that there might be an executive function or, you know, ADHD need for excitement or something to start the process. And so need to look for a way to help with the executive function role playing in a way to support the need, the ADHD need to make it important to them. And then how I set myself success is just kind of preparing for these interactions with that in mind.
Awesome. Love that. Stan, what about you?
Well, I wrote down perspective number one, which is what it's all about, and the perspective of making the ADHD issue first before the expected behavior, and that I think would start me off on the right foot. And then number two, the takeaway, remember scaffolding and the range of approaches instead of my all or nothing kind of reactions to things. And then the realistic action step for me to take is that really down-to-earth conversation about the showering and how can we make this work for everyone using everything we talked about earlier.
Awesome. How realistic does that feel for you?
Oh, it is. Very much so.
Okay. Great. Great call today, guys. Nice to have you both together again.
Thank you.
Stan, I'm going to steal your scaffolding because I like that. Scaffolding is really good. And it also fits with my alliteration with the sympathy and support solution to sympathy and support and providing scaffolding as part of the support. I like that a lot to help them climb their way to success rather than taking the elevator all the way up there.
Love
right,
that.
And the range of approaches, the range of possible approaches.
Yep.
Awesome. Great call, guys. Always
Thank
good.
Thank you.
Talk to you in a couple
Thank
weeks.
Thank you so much.
Thanks.
Okay.
Bye. Bye.